We begin the current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Nun Daled. We begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah on daf Nun Beis and Beis in the bottom, with what different animals are allowed to go out with on Shabbos that are considered intrinsic and part of the animal, that it's not considered a masi, a burden, that it would be considered transporting from one domain to another domain, that it would be the Issa of Itzah for the animal to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara begins. Hechelim Yoytzis Kefulas. Our Mishnah said that the ewes, the female rams, that they can go out tied on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, my kefulas, what does it mean that they could go out tied on Shabbos? Shemechavlin al yeshalehen lamata. That is that their tail are tied downwards. Kadesha lo yalu alein haskarm. That the rams, the males, should not mount them. That is, so to speak, should protect their genitalia, that the males should not mount them. That's the purpose of them going out kavulas of being tied. So the Gemara says, my mash medahai kavul lishna deloy ovid perihu. Where do we see from the terminology of kavulas that the word kavul means something that's non-productivity? In other words, that they shouldn't mount them and, so to speak, have children. The Chesivet says, a pasuk in Malachim, when Hiram, the king of Tzur, told to Shlomo, the Shlomo had given 20 cities to Tzur as a payment, says, moho irm ha'elash nesato li'achi. So Hiram told him, he says, what are these cities that you gave me, my brother? The Yikrulahem Eretz Kovel Adoyemazen, they called them Eretz Kovel until the day today. These are regarding the 20 cities that Shlomo gave Hiram. That's what the pasuk is talking about. In other words, he was complaining about them. They're Eretz Kovel. So he says, my Eretz Kovel. So the first pshat the Gemara brings is Amrav Huna, Shahoyuba b'nei Adam Shem Chubalin b'chesef uvizahav. That because the people that were inhabitants of those cities were people that were wrapped, that's the word of chavul, they were wrapped in silver and gold. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says, Ihachi hain d'chsiv v'lo yosh b'ena. This is what the pasuk says, it continues, says that it wasn't fitting in his eyes, these cities, that he didn't like them. And the question is, because the people were very wealthy, they were wrapped in silver and gold, that's why he didn't like it. Why should that be a reason why he didn't like the cities? So Amalei In says, yes, that's a reason why he didn't like those cities. Since they were very wealthy and very finicky, they're not going to do any work. They're not going to be involved in the service of the king. And that's why he didn't want to have anything to do with that people. And that's where we see the word kavel is a word that's wrapped, that they're not going to be productive. That's why he didn't want those cities and they didn't like it. And that's the idea that the ewes, they can go out with their tails tied downwards, that it should be non-productive. And that's the idea about kavel, that it's considered wrapping and non-conductive. Second shot the Gemara brings is, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, regarding the cities of Eretz Kavel, Eretz Chumten Haisen, that it was a land of Chumten that was very salty and it was very cracky, by my Karla Kavel, and why was it called Eretz Kavel? The Mishtarga Bakara Ad Kavel, because the foot would sink into the earth until the ankle. The Amiginchen, people would say, Ara Mechablo Deloy Abdi Peri, that it was an ankle-deep earth that doesn't provide any fruits, and that's the idea about Eretz Kavel. So we have two pshatim why he didn't like it and he called it Eretz Kavel, either because they were wrapped, and that's the idea that we see that it's non-productive, that the people that are just very wealthy and not going to be working for him, or it's called Eretz Kavel, that because it's very salty and the feet would sink down into the ankles, which is what Kavel is. Either way, it connotes non-productivity, and that's the idea about the Rechayim. They go out kavulas, they go out tied with their tails tied downwards, that the males should not mount them. So the Mishnah continued and said that kavunas, that the ewes, these females, they can go out fastened. So the Gemara says, my kavunas, what does it mean they go out fastened? Shemechavnin oisoy lemelas, that they go out fastened that for melas, and that is that they would tie our garment of clothing around the animal on the day that it's born so that its wool should stay clean. And that would protect the wool, that it shouldn't get dirty. And that was for the purpose of melas, that is to make out of the wool a clean melas, a beautiful coat of wool, that it never got dirty from the day that it was born, which is the cleanest it is after the mother cleans it off. Kidnan has learned in the Mishnah that what this melas is. We learned regarding se'es, that's one of the four types of negoyim, the afflictions, different types of colors that come on the person. That is ketzemer lovin. That color is like white wool. My tzemer lovin, what does it mean, white wool? So on that the Gemara says, I'm a bibi barabai, ketzemer noki ben yoimai, like the clean wool of a day old lamb, shemechab nois lamelas, that they wrap it and they fasten it for melas. That's the idea that we're talking about over here, that you're allowed to do for an animal because that is considered intrinsic for the animal and it's a protective measure for it. That's why the ewes are allowed to go out kavunas, fastened, that is, with this garment wrapped around it from the day that it's born. Now the Gemara continues, the Mishnah said, ve'izim yetzis shurus, that the goats could go out with their udders tied. And on that, we had a three-way machlokes in the Mishnah. We had the Shita of the Tanakhama that says it's mutter in olefan. It doesn't make a difference why you're tying it on. It's allowed to go out with its udders tied. We had Rabbi Yosi said that it doesn't make a difference why all situations are forbidden. And then we had Rabbi Yehuda who said that it's permitted for liyavish, that it's to dry up the udders, that the milk shouldn't come out. Whereas the case of l'chala, for the milk to come, that it would be forbidden. So we had a three-way machlokes. So what's the halacha? So we have a three-way machlokes amiram about who the machlokes is. Itma, we learned, Rava mahalocha ke Yehuda. Rav says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, again, that it's only mutter if it's to dry up the udders, and that's why you're tying it on. Whereas if it's to make it that the milk should come out to collect it, that would be aser. Shmuel amar halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, whereas Shmuel says halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that it's aser in all situations. Ve'ikud emasni l'hosh shmait abapin nasha. Those who learn this machlekes between Rav and Shmuel about who the halacha follows with and as an independent statement and not going on the machlekes in the Mishnah. And that is Rav amar liyavish mutta v'loy l'chol. Rav said explicitly on his own that to dry up the udders, that's permitted, but not for the milk. Where Shmuel said that both cases are forbidden. And Tosfos asks, so why would we gain them saying independently and not just say that one should say halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, one says halacha like Rabbi Yosi? So Tosfos says because there are those who have different types of versions about who said what, so therefore this version in the Gemara says that they said it on their own independent statements and didn't say it in the machlekes of the Mishnah. Now, those who learn the statement of Shmuel that zev zeh asa, that both cases are asa, on the following statement. Izim yaitzis through liyavish avaloy l'chalav. We learned that a goat could go out with his udders tied to dry it up, but not to make it milk, not to gather the milk. And they said in the name of Yehuda ben Maseira that that is the halacha, that to dry it up is mutter, and to collect the milk is asr. But aval mi mapis, he says, but who's going to draw lots? To know when it's being done to dry it up and when it's being done to gather the milk. And that is, who that's seeing this is going to draw lots and be able to differentiate, oh, that's being done to dry it up and that's being done for the milk. And that is, whoever sees that the udders are tied up when it's being done to dry it up, which is mutter, he's going to say that they're doing it to collect the milk, and then he's going to go ahead and do it for both cases, both for milk and for drying it up. And the case of milking is aser, and therefore he says, since you can't differentiate and be able to tell if it's being done to dry it up or to collect the milk, therefore both cases are aser, and we won't even permit even the case of when it's being used to dry up the udders. On that, Amr Shmuel. On that, we said that Shmuel says, "Va'amrila." And some say, "Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel." Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. The halacha follows Yehuda ben Maseira. That zev is a aser. That both cases are aser. Whereas on that, although in theory he agrees that the case of liyavish would be mutter, but since you can't differentiate, both liyavish and lachalav are going to be aser. And that the Gemara brings the third Amar, Asa Ravin, when Ravin said, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Nalek Ravin, Nalek Shmuel, Halacha Ketanakama, the Halacha follows the Tanakama of the Mishnah, that not only is it Mutter, even Liyavish, but even Lechalav is Mutter, both cases are Mutter. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which speaks about, up until now we spoke about what the animal is allowed to go out with on Shabbos, that's considered intrinsic and integral for the animal, and it's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah begins and says what an animal is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah begins, Ubameh ein yetze, and with what is the animal not allowed to go out with into Rosh Hashanah? So the Mishnah says, Lo yetze gomul b'metoltelis. A camel is not allowed to go out with a metoltelis. And Rashi brings three different interpretations of what that means. Either it means a strap which is under its tail, or it means a saddlecloth, or Rashi's preferred pshat, Rashi says, is a small little cushion that was filled with cotton that they would put under the tail so that the strap shouldn't abrase, it shouldn't scratch the flesh of the animal, because the load, the burden that's on top of it, when the camel's going down, so then it pulls down towards the neck, and therefore it's going to be pulling down by the tail part, and the strap holds it back, so it's going to be, so to speak, hurting and scraping the flesh. So they would put this mutoltelis, this small little cushion, to, so to speak, stop the abrasion, that it shouldn't hurt it so much. So an animal, a camel, is not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Another form that's usher to go out with on Shabbos, the Mishnah says, that the camel cannot go out bound or hobbled. And the Gemara is going to explain that oikdim, when it's bound, it means that they would tie the hands with the feet with this type of a rope, that they shouldn't run away, and they can't go out hobbled. And the Gemara will explain what exactly that is. V'chin shar kol behemos, this applies not only to camels, but to all types of animals. Then the Mishnah continues, Layiksha gemalim zeh bezeh v'yimshach. You're not allowed to tie camels one to the other, and then to pull one, that's the one, if you're tying one to the other, and then you pull the one at the front, as the Gemara is going to explain why that's asr. But you're allowed to gather all the different ropes from all the independent camels and then pull them together. As long as you're not pulling just one of them, you're holding the ropes of all of them, then you can pull them together. As long as you don't wind up the ropes on your hand into one, so to speak, rope. And the Gemara is going to explain why that would be us. So now the Gemara goes to explain the first din of our Mishnah. Tana, we learned, lo yetzei ha-gomel b'metoteles ha-kshur le-bisnavet. Said that a camel is not allowed to go out with this metoteles. We had three different interpretations what it is. Again, either it's a strap under the tail or a saddle cloth or this type of a cushion, which is to stop the abrasion when it's pulling out the strap on the tail. Either way, it can't go out if it's tied on its tail. Aval yetzei hu b'metoteles ha-kshur b'snavet u-b'chutrasay. But the camel is allowed to go out if this metoteles is tied on its tail and on its hump. And that is the humps that every camel has on top of them. That if you tie it both on the tail and on the hump, then it's going to be tied very well. It's not going to fall down. Therefore, we're not concerned that it's going to fall. Then you're going to have to carry it in Shasara. On that, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, Yitzah HaGomel B'Tatelis HaKshur Lo B'Shal Yosef. Similarly, that the camel could go out if the metatelis is tied on its placenta. And that is, since it would hurt it if it would move, therefore it's not going to move and shake it off, and it's not going to fall down. So therefore, that also would be permitted. It's only the case of when it's tied in just in the tail that it might fall down. You might come to pick it up, then it's also. But if it's tied onto the tail and the hump, or tied onto the placenta, which is where the child is, it would hurt the animal if it's going to try to move away from it. Therefore, in those cases, it could go out with that on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. So then the Mishnah said, "Lo okud b'lei rogel," that the camel can't go out bound and it can't go out hobbled. So what are these two cases? Amar Bihuda, okud, when it means bound, is akidas yod v'regel. It can't go out with the binding of the hand and the foot. In other words, you take one of the hands and one of the feet and you tie it together with a rope. That's ki Yitzchok ben Avram, like Yitzchok, the son of Avram Avinu, was by the Akedah. That's how he was tied. That was called Akedah. That is forbidden. Ruggle, what does it mean? Habal, shalo yochav yodoy al gabi zeroy v'yikshu. You shouldn't bend over the hand on the forearm and then tie it together. That is, take one of the hands and you bend it upwards and then you tie that. Then now it only has 3 feet and won't be able to run away. These two ways are forbidden for the animal to go out like this on Shabbos. So the Gemara has Meisvei on this interpretation of what Akud is, that it's tying one of the hands to one of the feet. But we learned Akud is Shteyedayim B'Shteyrek Laim, that bound is when two of the hands are tied together or two of the feet are tied together. And Ragul is Shalo Yochiv Yodei Al Gabi Zeroy B'Yikshur, that hobbled is that they bend over one of the hands to the forearm and then they tie it together. But what we see is that from the Brice it says that Akud is not tying one of the hands to one of the feet, is tying either one of the hands to the other hand or one of the feet to the other feet. So that the Gemara says, Huda Amar Ki Hai Tana, it's not difficult on this Amar, because he sells like a different Tana. The Tana like within the Brayse, so Akud Akidis Yad V'Regel. This Tana says explicitly that Akud, bound, means tying one of the hands to one of the feet, or two of one of the hands to the other hand, or one of the hands or one of the feet to the other feet. And Ragul Ishla Yochav Yadah Gabizrei B'Yikshur, and that hobbled, tying the leg, is that they shouldn't bend over the hand to the forearm and then tie it together. But then the Gemara says, "Bakati le'dami." It's still not the same, this Tana, to Rabbi Yehuda, to say that he's going like that Tana. Because Bishlam Reisha b'Seif and Nicha, it's understandable that the Reisha and the Seif is good, like that's like Rabbi Yehuda. Of Mitziyasi Kasha, but the middle case is difficult. Because the middle case says, Oishtei Yedayim Ishtei Reklayim, that either when it's the two hands tied to each other or the 2 feet tied to each other. And that's difficult according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he said that Akud is only the hand tied to the foot, like Yitzchak ben Avram. Like it says over there in Bereishis Chav Beis Vayekad, that is, they tied the hand to the foot behind him, and that you tied one hand to one foot, and he stretched out his throat backwards, and that was how that Akedah was supposed to be. So therefore, although the case, they agree to him that it's also one hand to one foot, but they say it's also, that Tana says also when it's the two hands together, and he says only hand to foot. So therefore the Gemara says, Elohu da'ama ki hai Tana, rather he says like the following Tana, which this Tana says explicitly, like he says, Akud akidis yad v'yagel ki Yitzchak ben Avram, that bound means dafka, one hand to one foot, like Yitzchak ben Avram was by that Akedah. And Ragul ishla yochav yod agab ezroi v'yikshar, that hobble means that you shouldn't bend over the hand on top of the forearm and tie it together. So now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. The next case was Balayikshu Gemalim. You shouldn't tie camels and one to the other and then be pulling only the one in the front. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Why is that forbidden? You're allowed to take each individual rope and pull them, so why can't you take just one rope and pull the one on the top? On that the Gemara says, Ravashi Mishab de Merzi Kamanda Ozlachinka. It's a Marasayan situation. Because it seems like you're taking the animals, these camels, to the market to sell them, which Mekecha Memcha, selling something at Shabbos is Aser. It's one of the Isurim that are brought down in Nach. And therefore, since it gives that impression, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah. It says avol machnas, but you could gather all the ropes together into one hand as long as you don't wind it up together. So on that, the Gemara says, what's the problem with that? Amar Ravashi, lo yishanu elin klaim. We didn't say this isser of winding them up together only regarding the halacha of klaim. And that is, the problem of winding up the ropes in the Mishnah is not related to the Isurim of Shabbos, because you're allowed to hold them all together. What's the difference if you wind it up? Rather, it was only regarding the Isur of Klaim. On that, the Gemara discusses. Klaim demai. What Isur of Klaim is there if you wind up the ropes? Elim Klaim de Adam. If it means regarding the Isur of Klaim of people, that is because if he winds up the rope around his hand, it comes out that now he's bound together with the camels, and sometimes they're pulling something, and it comes out that a person and the camel are, so to speak, pulling something together. And you now have different types of beings pull and do a harisho or anything pulling together. But v'atnam, but we learned in the Mishnah that can't be a problem of klaim. We learn adam mutter im kulam lachresh v'lemshech. A person is allowed to pull and to plow with all types of animals. And that is, the Torah didn't say it's forbidden, the Isra of klaim, only when you have two different animals together, like a shor v'chamor, and this is a Mishnah Masechtas klaim. And therefore, that doesn't have anything to do with a person, because a person's allowed to pull with an animal, so that can't be a problem of klaim. So which klaim are we talking about? Which admixture, which forbidden mixtures are we talking about? Not the mixture of pulling. El klaim de chavolim. Rather, we're talking about the klaim of the rope. That is, there's two different types of ropes over there. There's a rope of wool and there's a rope of linen. And then when you wrap them together, that creates klaim. And then his hand gets warmed up from holding onto them. So he's having hanah from the klaim. And this time the holds that davish ain miskam nezasa. Something that's not intended. You're not intending to have hanah. You're just pulling it. But you can have the pleasure of this wool and linen mixed together in your hand from the two different ropes. That's aser. But now the Gemara says that also can't be a problem. But we learn the braisa hatoikiv kifa achas in the chibur. If someone makes one connection of wool and linen, that's not considered a combination of forbidden things. So if you take one strap of linen and one strap of wool and you connect it with one string or one knot, that's not considered a connection. As the pasuk in Devarim Chav Beis says, tzemeru pishtim yachdav. It's only if wool and linen are together that the Torah only made it forbidden if they're a complete connection that they will stay together. That's not with one connection. It has to have at least two connections. So here you're just having one connection. What's the problem? That the Gemara says, lo'im klaim de chlov. Really, we're talking about its klaim of a chevel of the ropes. And b'hachikama b'lvach le'yichruch v'yikshur. And this is what we said, that as long as he doesn't wrap and tie, that it has two connections, then you're going to have the issue of klaim of the ropes, of tzemer and pishtim yachtav. That's the problem of winding them together and then tying it so that you have two connections. That's the problem of klaim. Then the Gemara says another condition for this permission of taking out the animals, the gemolim, the camels on Shabbos with the ropes. As long as the rope does not extend below his hand, a tefach. And that is, he's holding the rope, and then it's sticking out from under his hand, the edge of the rope. It shouldn't stick out more than a tefach from there. Because if it does, then it seems like he's carrying something in his hand. It doesn't seem like that he's holding just as the reins for the camel. It seems like he's holding something, so it shouldn't be more than a tefach. And that the Gemara asked about Tandebe Shmuel Tvachayim. But the Academy of Shmuel's Beis Medrash, they said that it shouldn't stick out two tefachim, but that a tefach is okay, even more than a tefach. So Abaya says as follows: Hashad the Amar Shmuel tefach, the Tana de Beis Shmuel tefachim. Now that Shmuel himself said that it can't be more than a tefach, whereas his Beis Medrash said that it can't be more than two tefachim. So Shmuel halacha lemaisas l'shminin. Shmuel is coming to tell us the practical halacha, and that is, he said it's a tefach to tell us that if someone's coming to ask us, what can he do? We tell him, you can't have more than a tefach. That people should not be lenient regarding this iser. But however, more than two tefachim is not going to be the iser. But if someone comes to ask, we tell him, you can't have more than a tefach, to be careful about this halacha. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, but v'hatanya, we learned not a tefach, not tefachim, but even much more than that. It says in the Braisa, b'vachi yigbiyim and akarka tefach. As long as it's elevated from the ground, at least a tefach, so then, as much as you want, it can be sticking out from your hand, as long as it's above the ground, a tefach. And here we say that it can't be tefach or tefachayim, and here the Braisa says it can be all the way down to the ground, as long as it's a tefach above the ground. And that the Gemara says, ki tanya hi b'chavla de beni beni. The Braisa was talking about something else. It was talking about the rope between his hand and the animal. And that is, on that the Braisa says that you could have it, as it could be leaning down as much as you want, as long as it's above the ground, a tefach. And that is, it should be visible that the animal is being pulled by this rope. Because if not, if it's dragging, if it's on the ground, it doesn't look like it's nitirusa de behemah. It doesn't look like the behemah is being protected and being held in check with this rope. Rather, it looks like it's just schlepping it, like it's just a burden, and it doesn't seem like that you're holding the other end of it. That would be a problem. And therefore, regarding that, it has to be at least above the ground, the tefach, that it's visible, that it sees that it's connected to you. But if it's dragging, that would be a problem. But regarding coming out of his hand, the person's hand, on the other side, that can't be more than the tefach or a tefachim. Now the Gemara continues discussing the iser of what an animal is not allowed to go with into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, "Incha mor yoytze b'mardas b'zman she'en kashur aloy." The donkey is not allowed to go out with a saddle cloth if the saddle cloth is not tied onto it. And as we mentioned on the previous stuff, that if it wasn't tied off on it even from before Shabbos, it's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. V'loy b'zug afa pishu poker. You can't go out with a bell, even if the bell is stopped up. And that is, although you put in cotton and now the bell does not ring around inside the bell to make noise, the Gemara is going to explain why it's aser. V'loy besulim shabat savor. You can't go out with a ladder around its neck. V'loy beritzur shabat ragle. Now with a strap around its feet. And all these different cases that the Mishnah is going to say with the ladder and the strap, the Gemara is going to explain that because these things you're particular about them, that if they would fall off, you would come to carry it because it's something that's precious to you. That's why, since it could fall off and you would come to pick it up, you might come to carry it for Amos and Shas Ram, we do not allow the animal to go out with that on Shabbos. So the Mishnah continues on these similar types of cases. Ve'ena tana goylem yoytzen b'chutin, that chickens are not allowed to go out with cords. V'loy b'ritzua sh'regleim, and not with straps around their legs. Ve'en haschorim yoytzin ba'agolah shetachas alishalem, and rams are not allowed to go out with small little wagons that are under their tails. So it's a small little wagon they would put under their tails because the edge of their tails were of these rams were very fat, almost like a small little pillow. And there were no bones, it was just fat. And it was very heavy and very thick. And it would drag on the ground and it would get scraped and it would get ruined. So they made a little wagon that should drag behind him as he was walking, and the tail was tied to this wagon, so you cannot go out with this wagon on Shabbos. Ve'en ha'rechelim yoytzis chanunas. And the ewes, the females, they can't go out chanunas. Ve'en ha'egel yoytzis b'gimun. And the calf cannot go out with gimun. V'loy para ba'or ha'koifer. And the cow cannot go out with a hedgehog skin. And that is, they would take the hedgehog skin and tie it around the udders of the cow so that the rodents, the shrutzim, should not go ahead and be leeching off the cow. And you can't put straps between its horns. Again, because that's a masa, it's a burden, as the Gemara is going to explain. However, the Mishnah says, although we said in the Mishnah that the cow is not allowed to go out with a strap between its horns, the cow of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, it did go out into the street with a strap between its horns against the will of the Chacham. So now the Gemara goes to explain the Mishnah. My time, what's the reason of the first din of the Mishnah that a mardas, the saddle cloth, the donkey's not allowed to go out on Shabbos into a shusharabim with it? On that, the Gemara says, Kedamar, as we mentioned before on the previous staff, that if it wasn't tied on from before Shabbos, that he didn't reveal that that's what was his intention, that it was for a malbush. Rather, why are you putting it on today? So obviously, it's just a burden because it was necessary. It would have been on from before Shabbos. That's why if it wasn't tied on from before Shabbos, you're not allowed to put on a Shabbos and go out even if you're going to tie it, because that would seem like a masi, like a burden. Next case in the Mishnah was, V'loy bezug af pisho pokok, that you can't go out with a bell even if it's stopped up. So what's the problem? It's not going to be making noise, so why can't it wear the bell? And that the Gemara says, Mishum de michzi kamanda ozgil lechinga. It looks like you're taking the animal to the marketplace, you're taking it to sell it, and they would tie on the bells to make it attractive, and therefore, if you're going to put on the bell, it looks like you're taking it to sell, and that's why it's usher, because you're not allowed to sell something on Shabbos, and because of that marasayin, it can't go out with a bell on Shabbos. So the Mishnah continues, it said, "Beloy besulim shebet savar," and now with a ladder around its neck. So Amr Rav Huna, Bei Loya, we're talking about a brace. And this is something that they would tie on around the cheek of the animal. That it can't go out with that on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, Lamai Abdilai, why would they make this ladder, this type of a brace around its cheek that it can't move? So the Gemara says, Lahecha de Islay Maka, it's for a time when it has a wound. The Lahodir Chayechbe, that it shouldn't turn and scratch it. That is, it shouldn't be able to turn its neck to where the wound is to be able to scrape it with its teeth. And they would tie it on by its neck. So this type of a ladder was more chashiv than that splinter that we mentioned on the previous daf that it says regarding the fracture of the animal that's allowed to go out with it. Because there, if it falls off, it's not a big deal. But here, this ladder, which was a more chashiv type of a brace, if it would fall, it would bother you, and you might come to pick it up and carry it by mistake, and then it'd be over on the Isra Ha'itzah and carrying it for Amos and Shosarab. That's why we don't let you take out all these different things in the Mishnah, or including the ladder in the other cases, because it might fall and something precious to you, and you might come to carry it. Similarly, the next case of the Mishnah was V'loy b'ritzua shebaraglay, and it can't go out with a strap between its feet. On that, the Gemara says, what was the purpose of that? The abdi lay legizra, that it was made to prevent injury. And that is, an animal that had very short strides. It had very small steps. And the feet would knock one in the other. So they made a small type of a ring, or a small type of a strap that was thick, that they would tie above the hooves of the legs, where the place where the feet would knock. So although it would be knocking, but it would have these straps that would prevent injury. So though, again, those types of things, since they could fall off and they're precious, you might come to pick it up. That's why it can't go out with the straps by its feet. So the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah said that the chickens are not allowed to go out with cords. So what was the purpose of that? It was this type of a marking so that the chickens shouldn't get mixed up with the chickens of his friends. You can't tell necessarily exactly which chickens, especially when you have a whole bunch of, them. So you make a marking. That type of thing, again, might fall, you might pick it up. So therefore, the chickens are not allowed to go out with those on Shabbos. The Mishnah continued, and that the chickens cannot go out with the strap on their feet. What was the purpose of that? The avdi tavri money. They made these straps when they strapped the two legs together, and that is that it shouldn't break different vessels. That it shouldn't be able to pick up its feet, and it would kick and spray pebbles, and it would break vessels. So they would tie the two legs together with a ritzua. That would be usher to take them out with on Shabbos, again, because it might fall and you might pick it up. So the Mishnah said, that the rams are not allowed to go out with a small little wagon under their tail. So the Gemara explains, the purpose of this wagon was that his tail should not get bruised, that it shouldn't get scraped up with the different rocks that are there in the ground. Again, this wagon would be precious. It might get disconnected. You might come to carry it. That's why it's awesome. So the Mishnah continues, that the ewes, the females, they can't go out chanunis. So what is this? So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Acha Ba'ula Kamedra Av Chizda. The Yosef would come and he was sitting and he was saying the following, Mishosh Geizen Eisen, from the time when they shear the animals until the wool grows back, Toimnin Lo Azik B'Shemen, they could immerse a compress into oil, that is a cotton or anything that's soft, U'manichin Lo Padachachta, and then they could put it on its forehead, Kadosh Leite Itzdanen, that it shouldn't become cold, something that's necessary for the animal, and therefore you could do that, you could immerse it in oil and then put it on its forehead. And that's what chanunis means. Chanunis is this interpretation. And the Gemara is going to explain, where do you see from this, the word chanunis, this interpretation of immersing a compress in oil and putting it on its forehead that it shouldn't get cold. So, however, Amalei Rav Chisda, if this is what you're doing for the animals, you're making the animals into marukva. That this, you're making a certain chashivas like marukva, who was an usher, was wealthy, and he was the Av Bezdin, and do they do such a chashivas for an animal where when they shear it, they shouldn't get cold? They do such a procedure, they immerse it in oil and they put it on its forehead. You're going a little bit too far. That can't be what chanunis is. Eliyosef Rapapa Bashmo Kamed Rav Chisda, the Yosef Akama, and he said the following interpretation. Bishosha Kairas Leilid, at the time when the female, when it crouches to give birth, Taimin Lo Shnei Zokin Shal Shem, and then they immerse two compresses in oil for it. Umanichin Lo Echad Al Patachta, they put one on her forehead, and one by the womb, that she should be warm. So again, Rav Nachman says, then you're making her like Yalta, which was his wife. In other words, she's an honorable person. She means someone that deserves such a type of a treatment when she's giving birth. But someone like a female, the ewes of the ram family, that you're going to go ahead to such a procedure? That can't be what chanunis is. Rather, Elam Rav Huna, Eitz Echad Yesh B'kra Chayam. There's a piece of wood that are in the cities far away in the seas, v'chanun shemay, and it's called chanun, and that's why it's called chanunis. U'mevin kisim u'menichin la'b'chaytma. Then they would bring a chip of that wood, and they would put it in the nostril of the ewes, k'dei she'tis'atesh v'yiplu dani reisha, that it should sneeze. We know if you put something in the nose, it makes you to sneeze, and then the worms of its head will fall out, and that's chanunis, and that you can do on Shabbos. And that the Gemara says, "Hi hachis charm nami." So why only the females? The ewes, even the males also. So the Gemara says, no, the males don't need this. Since the rams, they butt heads one with the other. Male and when they fall out on their own. And that's what chanunis are. Shimon Azira Amma, he says a similar pshat, kisma derisma. It has to be a chip of the raisim type of wood. And that's what they would put in its nose. So the Gemara says, Bishlam and Rav Huna, hayin de gutani chanunis. It's understandable according to Rav Huna that he said that a certain type of wood that's called chanun. So that's why this is called that the females could go out chanunis, because it's talking about a piece of wood called chanun. Il Rabbanan, but according to the other three interpretations, whether it's the raisim wood or all these different types of things of immersing a compress and putting on, whether it's by birth or when it's was sheared the wool, my chanunis davdin, what's this chanunis? Where do you see from here that it would mean chanunis? Now the Gemara says, davdin lahu milsa dimrachamin alay, is that we do for the youth something that will have mercy on it. That's the word of chanun, of rachamim. That's why it comes from chanunis, and that's their interpretations of that either when the time when it was sheared, that it shouldn't get cold, or when it's giving birth, or that it's this certain type of raisim wood. Either way, it's a terminology of chanun, of having rachmanis, and that's why it's called chanunis. So the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah. Said ve'ena egel yitzav begimen, that the calf cannot go out with gimen. My egel begimen. What does it mean? The calf cannot go out with gimen. Amar Huna bar nira. It's a small type of a yoke that they would put on the neck of the calf when it's already young. That it should be already learned to have its head bent over to carry yokes. That when it'll get older, it'll be used to it already. So Amar Blaza, my mashman hai gimen lishna de mechiv. Where do you see from the terminology of gimen that it means an idea about bending over? That's the yoke that it's making a bend over. The Sivlik says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Halachoyf ka'agman roishoy, is he going to bend his head like a fish hook? And that is where Hashem says that I don't need this external hachna, this so to speak bending down to me. I want the real, true, internal heart being subservient to me. But the idea is that we see that the word of agmain, which is related to the word halachif of bending over, we see that the word gimain means to bend over, and that was the interpretation of egel begimain. That's a small type of a yoke to have the calf already at a young age, already bent over, ready to serve when it gets older. So it can't go out with that gimain on Shabbos. Mishnah continued, v'lepar ba'or hakuper, that the cow is not allowed to go out with the hedgehog skin. And that the Gemara says, what's that for? The avdi lo kihecha delelim tsuya yali. They put it around the udder of the cow that the leeches should not suck the milk out of the cow. That was the purpose of that. That the cow cannot go out with the enter shusharab machabas. Again, it might fall. You might come to pick it up and carry dalet ames and shusharab. So the Mishnah continued. Belebir tsuya shabin karnel. And not with the strap between its horns. So what is the problem about the strap between the horns? So that's a machlekes amaron that we mentioned on the previous daf. That is ilarav. If it's like the interpretation of Rav, this would be Bein Lanoi, Bein Lashamar Aser. This strap would be Aser to go out, whether it's for decorative purposes or whether it's even for control purposes. And that's because Rav holds that whatever is its excess type of a shmira of a restraint is considered a mass, is considered a burden. And since it doesn't need this strap between the horns to restrain it, because you could just be next to it, the cow is not running anywhere, so therefore it's considered a burden. And if you want to interpret this halacha according to Shmuel, then if this strap would be just for decorative purposes, that would be considered a burden because it's unnecessary. It's not intrinsic, internal to the animal, and that's what's considered, so to speak, carrying a load. Whereas if it's to protect it, to restrain it, then it would be mutter, as the Gemara in Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph already explained this machlekes, because he holds that netirusi serasa, an excessive restraint, is not considered a burden. It's considered, it's still included in the category of restraints, which is permitted, which is considered intrinsic to the animal. And then the Mishnah concluded with a story that although he said that a cow is not allowed to go out with a strap tied around its horns, but Parasit Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did go out with it. And that was against the will of the Chacham. So the Gemara asked, this story doesn't make sense. V'chada pari havile, did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have one cow? But V'amar Rav, but Rav said, V'amar lo amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav, and some said Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav. Teresa Alfi Egli Hava Ma'aser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Me'edrei Kol Shata V'Shata. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he took off just Ma'aser, which is a tenth of his herd. He took off 12,000 calves a year. So definitely doesn't have one cow. So that the Gemara says, Tana Loisha Loi Hoisa. It really wasn't his cow. He wouldn't have done something against the will of the Chacham. And it wasn't just one cow that he had. Ela Shal Shechein Noisei Hoisa. It was his neighbor. And since he didn't protest against her for letting her cow go out with the straps between the horns, therefore it's called his cow. And that is his responsibility of a person to be moichet, to protest something that he sees that's being done against the ratzon of Hashem. And since he didn't protest, it was called, so to speak, his. He was taking the responsibility for it. Related to this topic of the responsibility to be moichet, to protest, Rav Reb Chanina, Reb Yechon, and Reb Chaviva Masnum, these four Amiram, they learned. And some say that Bakula de Seder Moyed, that whenever these four are mentioned in the tractate of Moyed, in the order of Moyed, Kolki Haizuga, we're mentioning this pair of these four Tamid Chacham, Chaluf Rabbi Yechanan, Uma'al Rabbi Yechanan, that they take out from the four Rabbi Yechanan, and instead they insert Rabbi Yechanan. But either way, these four Amiram said, Kol Misha Efsha Limchis La'anche Beisei, V'loy Micha, whoever has the ability to protest against the people of his family that are doing something wrong, and he doesn't, Nitpis Al'anche Beisei, that he's punished for the sins of the people of his family. Moreover, Ba'anchi Iroi, if he has the ability to protest and that people will listen to him, the people of his city, and he doesn't, Nitpis Al'anchi Iroi, he will be punished for the sins of his city. And B'chalolim Kulei, and regarding the whole entire world, for example, if he's a king or if he's a prince, that he could be Ma'icha, and people are afraid of him and they will listen to him and he doesn't protest, Nitpis Al'chalolim Kulei, then he's punished for the entire world's sins. And that thing more brings that Amr of Papa, Vahani de Bei Resh Galusa, that the household of the Resh Galusa, who is the leader of Klal Yisrael and Galus, Nitpesu al Kuliyama, they get punished for the whole entire world because they have, it's in their hands to, so to speak, protest, and they don't. As the Gemara says, Kihodam Reb Chanina, Ma'idich Siv, what does it mean the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem bin Mishpat Yoveh, that Hashem will enter in judgment, Im Zikni Amay Vesar, with the elders of his nation and his rulers? So the question is, Im Sarm Chatu, if the rulers sin, and we continue on to the top of Nunheim and Aleph, Zikena Malchotu, what did the elders sin? And the elders is a reference to the Sanhedrin. We understand the rulers, they sin, but what is the relation between the elders and the rulers? Eleim al Zikenim, rather say that there's judgment on the Sanhedrin, Shalei Michu B'Sam, because they didn't protest against the rulers, and since it was within their hands to protest, therefore they get punished for not protesting.